Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the first Sunday of Advent. This broadcast is coming to you from Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team today is Jim Cooper, our cantor, Kevin Boatwright, our sound engineer, Annie Laurie Seifert, our lector, Kathy Box, our assisting minister, Megan McCoy is our music director, Stuart Taylor is our organist. Our vocalists today are Samuel Boos, Trini Crocker, and the ensemble band consists of Phil Becker, Sandy Cooper, and Jennifer Martello. Starting today, our worship services will be uploaded to YouTube. The link will be found on our Facebook page. If the service is cut off for any reason, YouTube will have the complete service. We join now in confession and forgiveness. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. We keep silence for personal prayer and reflection. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven, and we are free. Free from all that holds us back, free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May each of us be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn today comes from Evangelical Lutheran Worship 259, Fling Wide the Door.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in the Kyrie found on page 156.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved, and we shall be saved. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved, and we shall be saved. shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you make of you when your people pray? Let your face shine upon us, them with the bread of tears. You have given them the bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies have us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be made upon the one at your right hand,
the one you have made so strong for yourself. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved, and we And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts.
Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Let your face shine upon us.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel acclamation is found on page 160. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus said, in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of our Lord. To you, O Christ.
All right, this is the time that we have children's time, and I always invite the children to listen, but also the adults. We're in the season now, we're starting the season of Advent in the church year. And Advent is a very special time because we're preparing. Does anybody know what we're preparing for? I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, we're preparing for Santa to come. We're preparing for Christmas. You're right. We are preparing for Christmas. And I brought myself a purple cloth today, and it's to remind me that we're in the season of preparation right now. We've been in the season of ordinary times, but now we're in the season of preparation. And we're preparing for when Jesus is born. And so at my house, I will take this cloth, and I will put this cloth on a table, and I will put my manger on this cloth. And each day, I will add one piece to my manger. My manger has lots of different pieces, because it was told, the story was told, that Jesus was born in a stable in a manger. So I will take my stable, and I will set it up on my table with my cloth. And each day, I'll add one more piece to it until the day that Jesus is born. In preparation, we're preparing. Are you prepared at home? Is your mom and dad prepared? Not only for the celebration of the season, but for also for the birth of Jesus. I have a really fun song. It's soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Alleluia, alleluia, we're going to see the King. And does anybody know who that King is? Jesus, you're right. All right, let's say our prayer. God loves me, Jesus is my friend, and church is a great place to be. Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. A few years ago, I was at a conference at Lake of the Ozarks, and one of the presenters was David Loos, a homiletics professor and seminary professor, actually seminary president. And he gathered everybody in one of the breakout rooms, and the first question he asked us was, "What do people expect to find when they come to your church?" And the answers were fascinating. Some people said, well, they come for fellowship, or since this was a Lutheran gathering, some people said they come for coffee and cookies. And the list went on. And each time someone offered an answer, he sort of just looked quizzically at everyone and shook his head. And at the end, he said, "You're missing the point. People come to church to find God. Are you prepared to introduce the people who come to your church to God?" So I would like to ask you this question on this first Sunday in Advent. Do you expect to meet God during Advent this year? Advent 2020, will you encounter God? Will you engage in a discussion about the way in which the world is and look for the presence of God in all of the ways that we talk about what's happening in our lives today? And when will you meet God? Our gospel lesson says, will it be evening, midnight, at cockcrow, or at dawn? Will you meet God this Advent? Perhaps it's more important and more profound to ask a more difficult question. Will we find God in the midst of a pandemic? And what happens when we hear the voices asking, will Christmas ever come? In the midst of all of the craziness of COVID-19, Christmas is changing and we don't want it to change. And Christmas as we've known it might not be possible. It might not be possible for families in their individual celebrations. It might not be possible for this church in their public worship events. It might not be possible for stores and communities. There may be no Christmas parades, no tree lighting ceremonies. Is it possible that Christmas won't come? I think Advent is a time to teach us once again how to wait. I am an extraordinarily impatient person. Waiting is not something I do well. It's not something I tolerate very well. I look at all the lines that we are standing in now to receive COVID-19 testing. Some people have waited for hours and hours and hours to be tested. I think that maybe teaches us a little bit about what Advent is all about. Because you see, we're impatient. We don't want to go through Advent. We want to get on to Christmas. We don't want all of this preparation stuff. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast. We don't want to reflect on who we are as individuals. We want to get right to the heart of the matter, and we want that baby Jesus right now. Maybe Advent this year in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, is going to teach us once again the gift of sacred waiting, when our time is a time to make a list of all the people for whom we are thankful and give thanks for the simple things of memory, baking cookies, reading the familiar words of prophecy, looking at the love in our lives. And waiting can give us both hope and strength. I was reading a sermon the other day by Caroline Lewis. It really wasn't a sermon, it was a reflection on this lesson. And in it she said, we need to translate keep awake and be alert from today's gospel to be present. Be present in the moment. not in yesterday with regrets about what we did or didn't do, what we want to get done or not get done, not in tomorrow, but be present in the moment, fulfilling our time and our lives with the expectations of the present. So it's not just being alert, it's being present in the moment. I also read a sermon by a Baptist minister. That's strange for Lutherans to read Baptist sermons, but they're pretty good. This gentleman's name is Jim Somerville. Listen to these words. Imagine a world in which Christmas didn't come on December 25th, but with the first snowfall of the year. The people of the world couldn't count on a certain number of shopping days before Christmas. They would have to do their shopping early, have their presents wrapped and ready by the first cold snap of the season. The procrastinators would not be racing desperately through department stores on December 24th. But wherever the north wind blew and woolly gray clouds hung low in the sky, in some parts of the world, Christmas would be earlier than in others. Christmas could come today, signs would say in store windows, and advertisers would blare, "Don't let it catch you unprepared." Think about that. Think about if all of the preparation was something that we didn't do just one time during the year in anticipation of a single day. But what if we were prepared to meet God every day? What if we were prepared? What if we were present to see the world around us with urgent eyes, eyes of expectation and hope, because Christmas, the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of God into our lives, might come today. We could see it in the clerks in the stores, the curbside servers in the restaurants, our families who sit next to us at the dinner table. We could see with different eyes. We can become bearers of expectation for the present moment. We can be present in life, using all of our senses to see each other, forgive each other, love each other, serve each other, and share ourselves with each other. In Somerville's sermon, he goes on to talk about Christmas as being a time for kids, children. And what a wonderful thing that would be if each blustery day became a day when maybe Christmas is coming. Maybe Christ is coming. So from the middle of October, they would leap from their beds in the morning and rush to the window, hoping to see the ground blanketed with snow. They would ask their parents, "Do you think it might snow today? Do you think it might snow tomorrow?" And the most popular show on television would not be any of the incredible opportunities we have to be entertained. It would be the weatherman. And the weatherman would put on his Santa Claus hat and predict snow. Could we be present every moment of every day in anticipation of the presence of God and the coming of God? What would happen to the little girl sitting in a classroom cutting out a snowflake from a piece of white construction paper, and she looks out the window and she sees a snowflake falling? And she jumps out of her seat and she says, "It's here, it's here, it's here! Christmas is here!" I wonder what it would be like living in a world where every moment was an anticipation of living in the presence with God in our lives. It would be so different from the scheduled way we celebrate. Remember the words from our gospel lesson? At about that day and hour, no one knows. And Jesus says, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Could we replace Christmas at the first snowfall and Mr. Somerville's sermon with a Christmas in the midst of a pandemic? Are we able to see Christmas without all of the things we have normally done? What does Christmas look like without much of the traditions, the tinsel, the decorations, the trappings? Could we welcome Jesus in a new way? I've watched in my short time with Trinity Lutheran Church new babies come into the midst of this congregation. And there's always that great period of expectation. Getting ready, the first baby, all of those exciting moments and exciting time. People are waiting for that birth. But what I find really interesting is that after the waiting, after the watching, after the expectation, there is absolute unbridled joy. And when the baby is brought to the church for the first time, everybody wants to hold the child. And the baby gets passed around. And we hear the echoes of all of those questions. What's the baby's name, if we don't already know? But joy comes only after the waiting. The pandemic, the terrifying presence of COVID-19 gives us an opportunity to look past the gifts, the traditions, and encounter the child, the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ, the presence of God. And it won't get lost this year in a pile of wrapping paper and toys and gifts. It won't get lost in the midst of the lives of far too many in our land, too numerous to count, where there will be no gifts and perhaps no food. But there will be, in the midst of the day, beneath the tree, if indeed there is a tree, the baby, the Christ. Not in some corner manger set off to the side, but right there, the center of attention. Advent is a time of holy expectation, divine waiting, a time to put us all on pause so that we can be present when we discover God once again. Amen. We join together now in the hymn of the day, Evangelical Worship 264, Prepare the Royal Highway.
Thank you.
please join me to say the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in our hymn books. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God of power and might, tear open the heavens and come quickly to your weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. We pray for the ministry we share in Christ's name, our hearts to your call for justice, peace, and healing. Attune us to the needs of the world as we draw near. Be with our caregivers everywhere. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the planet in need of restoration, for devastating habitats, polluted waters, thawing ice, blazing fires, swelling floods, and long-lasting droughts. Renew the face of the earth and our relationship to it. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for all people who care for others in our community and around the world. Fill them with compassion and the power to respond with justice for those who are oppressed, with welcome for those who are excluded, and with relief for those who suffer. Be with our leaders at all levels of government. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for people who are in crisis as the seasons change, for those without homes facing severe weather, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, and for those in poverty or facing food insecurity. Relieve their burdens, sustain their bodies, and ease their minds. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the people in our families and congregations who live with depression, anxiety, chronic pains, addictions, and other invisible illnesses. Ease their suffering and support them when they struggle. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give thanks for the lives and the witnesses of those who have died while waiting for justice, peace, or healing, those whose names we know and those whose names are unknown only to you. Sustain all who still yearn for the completion of your redeeming work. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we join together in expressing our wish for the peace of Christ to be with all of the world as we exchange God's peace. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. We pause now for our offering, and at this time I want to express our thanks to everyone who continues to support the ministry and vision of Trinity Lutheran Church in this place. We give thanks for you and for all of your precious gifts.
Thank you.
We join now in our communion liturgy, the Great Thanksgiving. I would invite you, if you have some bread and wine or grape juice at home, to be prepared a little later when we say the words, take and eat and take and drink, to share those gifts with each other. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, when the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for each of us as people of God. And now we join together in the Lamb of God, found on page 164. We join now in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 612, Healer of Our Every Ill. And now, hear the words, take and eat the body of Christ. Take your bread and share it. And now the cup, take and drink the blood of Christ. And take your cup and share it.
Gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever, and your boundless mercy strengthens us and opens our hearts to the world's needs. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Now hear the benediction. The Creator of stars, bless your Advent waiting. The long-expected Savior, fill you with love. The unexpected Spirit, guide your journey, now and forever. Amen. And we join together in our ascending hymn, ELW 263, Savior of the Nations Come, verses 1, 2, and 6.
Go in peace. Prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.